I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We've been checking in live from South Carolina on the politics of the state with a key Democratic primary just days away. But there's also plenty of other news about the Republican race for the White House and the wranglings on Capitol Hill. For more, we've got Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Hi, folks.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
So let's check in on this Republican race. You have former Republican Senator Fred Thompson of Law and Order and the Hunt for Red October and our federal government dropping out. So, Robert, Thompson didn't do well in the early primaries, and then Mike Huckabee all but blamed him for sucking valuable voters away in the Republican South Carolina primary. So, first off, why didn't voters warm to Thompson?
Well, the hunt for Red October turned out to be a lot easier than the hunt for delegates. Senator Thompson turned out to be a case of the person who you simply loved and adored until he actually had to start running, and he ended up with a very kind of a laid-back, laconic style that didn't click even with the Southern, many of the Southern voters who should have been his target, audience. What ended up happening is, though, by staying in as long as he did in South Carolina, he ended up giving a very nice bump to Senator John McCain, who most people believe that may not be immediate, but eventually Thompson will probably endorse McCain. Already, a number of Thompson supporters, such as former Senator Al D'Amato here in New York, have switched from Thompson to McCain, and that is probably going to be the long term impact of the Thompson campaign. Helping John McCain at a late portion of the process to get an extra boost.
Mary, one thing that many of us noticed was that in the Democratic debate, there were references to John McCain as if he were already the Republican nominee.
Absolutely.
Why do you think so?
Well, first I want to tell you that I'm most proud of two things, predictions I made that came true, and I made them on this show. One was that John McCain would come back and be ahead when he was left for dead, and everybody laughed at me. And the other was when Fred Thompson started running, I said, I'm from Tennessee, and nobody in Tennessee can figure out how Fred has enough energy to run for anything. And therefore, I don't understand why he's running, and he's not going to get anywhere because he's too lazy. We know that. We love him, but he's lazy. So it turned out that we knew that from the beginning. As for McCain, I think that the same thing was happening in the debate the other night that was happening early on in the Republican debates when they kept referring to Hillary Clinton as somebody they could beat. You know, they kept doing that over and over and over and over again. They finally stopped for a while. And so now that McCain is back and now that the, quote, surge is supposedly working, depending on who you believe, they now think that, you know, McCain is going to do it. They don't take Huckabee all that seriously, and I think they should, actually. And now I really think that most of them agree with Robert that Thompson is likely to endorse McCain if he endorses anybody. But I'm not sure he has enough energy to endorse anybody. So those of us Tennesseans will be waiting around to see if he ever does that either, too.
Yeah, well, I think the Huckabee boomlet has hit its peak, and I don't think it's going to be going anywhere else. I mean, on one level, he is sort of the most charismatic person running in the Republican primary. However, if he couldn't win South Carolina with all of the evangelical votes there, I don't really see him finding some really opportune places to win afterwards. So there are already stories that he's getting ready to pull out of Florida, which would, in a sense, cede the ground there to Mitt Romney, McCain, and Rudy Giuliani, who's making that his last stand as well. So I'm not sure if Huckabee can really go so far as to basically, you know, to win it with the remaining states coming up.
Well, you're right that good old Senator Thompson kept him from winning in South Carolina because I think he would have gotten those Thompson votes, and now maybe he can't get a momentum. And if that's true, then it's going to be whether Romney can stop McCain. Otherwise, he's going to go all the way to the nomination.
Well, yeah, it is.
Let me actually just jump in and talk a little bit about the military, because it seems like both of you are saying that one reason Senator McCain is able to step in is because he had stood fast about the war. He'd criticized the president over issues of torture, but he'd stood fast in support of this war. And I want to mention that the Senate passed a new defense bill yesterday. It includes pay raises for military officials, mm-hmm. better treatment of military veterans. So there was a bill that was vetoed by the president in December of last year. It was pretty similar. Why the change, Mary, between then and now?
It was because the bill last time had some language that Senator Lautenberg, I think, from New Jersey, is very concerned about, and others, about people who have been harmed by the Iraqi government under the Saddam Hussein regime being able to have claims, soldiers and citizens who suffered under the former regime, to make claims. And the Bush administration and the Iraqi government, the new Iraqi government, didn't want that language in. They thought it would be a burden on the existing government, a financial burden. And so Bush said that he would veto it. He did. I mean, he said he didn't accept it because it had the wrong had this language in it. So now what the Senate did is they gave in. Congress, as they've done on almost, you know, they have to do that. They have to keep doing that because they don't have any votes to do anything else. And so they gave in and said, well, the State Department would try to work out something to address these claims. And so the bill passed cleanly. I mean, it was like, you know, like 40-some votes against it in the House, and maybe 9 or 10 or something like that in the Senate, maybe less than that. So it was not the details of the bill or the pay raise or anything else. It was just that issue of claims made for suffering that had taken place under the old regime.
Right. It came down to a legalistic slash possible litigation issue that they the administration didn't feel that the current Iraqi administration should, in a sense, suffer from a litigation standpoint for the crimes of Saddam Hussein. So,
Robert, do you think that in his own way the president has wrestled the Democrats to the ground on war spending?
Absolutely. As Mary said, I mean, to get something passed in Washington these days, you need at minimum 60 votes in the Senate, and you need something, particularly when it comes to something critical such as war spending, you need a veto-proof margin, and the Democrats obviously don't have anything close to that. So when it comes to something like waging war, war funding, things like that, something that is a presidential prerogative, a presidential priority, if you will, he has the whip hand, if you will, and the Democrats were able to, you know, screamed and yelled about it, but ultimately they didn't want to be put in the position of saying that we're not funding the war, we're not supporting
all
the
right.
troops.
And it's also
we're going to have
case.
To wrap it up there, Mary. Sorry about
that. Well, more
Robert
next
and,
time, huh?
Absolutely. There's always the next time.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for writing.
Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, spoke to us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., and Robert George is associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. He joined us from NPR's bureau in New York.